Good morning and welcome to the Erie County Rath Building. I'm Erie County Executive Mark Polenkars. As we announce and to the public, though something that's been worked on for quite some time, a marketing and media campaign in regards to the issues associated with addiction and the overdose problems that we are seeing in our community. We are joined, of course, by our Health Commissioner, Dr. Gail Burstein. We have Paula Bridgeforth, Manuela Wiamuka, and Kenny Gaston from Group Ministries, who are part of the team that has put together this marketing campaign, which is called Detect to Protect. Before we first get into that, I want to talk a little bit about the opiate epidemic and how it's morphed into an addiction epidemic and the deaths that are related to it. When we first began the anti-opiate task force, I declared a public health crisis in Erie County approximately 10 years ago, we were dealing with an issue associated with prescription drugs, people who were becoming addicted to prescription drugs, and as a result, morphing into other harder drugs like heroin or just dying from overdoses of prescription drugs. At that point, we were almost never talking about fentanyl. Fentanyl is a substance that was created primarily for end-of-life treatment of individuals, cancer patches, things like that, in which it would help subside the pain of an individual who was nearing death. And somewhere along the line, drug dealers realized that fentanyl is a highly addictive opiate, and it also is an incredible pain reliever. So we went from a situation dealing with prescription drug problems, heroin, to a drug that is now unfortunately being placed in almost every other drug that exists out there. If you look at the statistics, and the county releases statistics on an annual basis and quarterly during our task force meetings, you will see the number of individuals who have overdosed and died from just what was purely heroin or prescription drugs has dropped dramatically. It is now almost all fentanyl based, and it's being placed in almost every drug out there. If you're buying prescription drugs on the black market, it's very likely there's fentanyl in it. If you're using cocaine, it's very likely that it's fentanyl in it. And what we've seen in the last couple years especially is we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of individuals who've died who don't even realize or overdose, who don't realize that they actually are addicted to fentanyl by using cocaine because it's been put in that substance. There are individuals who are going to the hospital who are going through fentanyl withdrawal, and they're being asked in the hospital, do you use opiates? And they're like, no, I don't use opiates. Do you use cocaine? Well, you're going through fentanyl withdrawal because your cocaine's laced with fentanyl. And that person's lucky because they're still alive. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Between this period of July 6th through July 16th, there were 14 deaths in Erie County that we believe, we haven't confirmed yet, but we believe are overdose deaths associated with an opiate-based substance, such as fentanyl. Those deaths are individuals from across the county. We had deaths in the city of Buffalo, deaths in the town of Cheektowaga, deaths in the town of Tonawanda. We also had deaths in the village of Springville, death in the village of East Aurora. We're seeing individuals who are older that are dying, who are habitual cocaine users, have used it their entire life, who do not believe they use drugs. Because in their heads, cocaine's not a drug. It's just something they do when they go party. But we're seeing situations in which individuals are dying alone at home with cocaine that they think is cocaine, but it's actually spiked with fentanyl. We're seeing two or three individuals at a time sometimes in which they both die because they're both using cocaine. They don't have Narcan. They don't have naloxone. So as I said, we morphed. We morphed from a situation when we were dealing with prescription drugs and heroin to now we're dealing with something totally different, which is what people believe, first off, aren't drugs. A lot of people don't believe cocaine's a drug, but cocaine's a drug. And if it's spiked with fentanyl and you use it, you're going to get hooked to opiates. You're going to get hooked to fentanyl. So we had to change. Last year, during our one of our, was it probably about a, 6 months ago, I think, during our opiate task force, in which we decided to change the name from the opiate task force to one related to addiction, I tasked every single one of the attendees, and some of the media members were there because the media is invited to each and every one of our task force meetings in which we present all the most recent data. I tasked the members of the task force to come up with new ideas. I said that this is not the same addiction crisis that we dealt with 10 years ago, and we have to come up with new ideas. And at that point, it was decided we needed to start a new type of marketing campaign. You may remember the old marketing campaign that we had, which was using billboards to talk about heroin, to talk about opiates, and we used other sources as well. But we've realized that the old method doesn't work, and so we had to come up with a new idea. And that's partially what we're here for today. There's other things that we're doing and that we'll be announcing as well, and just providing, once again, the information out to the public that they need to know. But we actually kicked off the Detect to Protect program last week. What does it mean? Well, you're going to hear from individuals and see on social media, on various platforms, including billboards and the like, these individuals who are here to say that the face of addiction, the face of death, especially with regards to people dying from fentanyl, has changed. First off, it's gotten older. The statistics show that individuals are dying in our community from overdose deaths related primarily to fentanyl in substances that they don't think is fentanyl, is older, including individuals in their 70s, which we almost never saw 10 years ago. We are seeing people of color dying at higher percentages. Almost one-third of the individuals in the last year were people of color, where it was not like that previously. And so what we want to get the message out, and as we've been talking about this for some time, is that just because you don't use what you think is an opiate-based substance doesn't mean the substance you're using doesn't have it. I don't know if I said that right, too many double negatives. But if you use cocaine and you've never touched a prescription drug pill that has opiates in it, you've never used heroin, you never used anything that's just fentanyl, doesn't mean you're safe. Because as we've talked about for some time, pretty much every substance on the street has fentanyl. The drug dealers have realized if they put fentanyl in it, people will become addicted. And if they become addicted, for them, that means more business. It's strange because they're killing their customers, but they don't seem to care because there seems like there's a lot of customers out there. So they morph from the customers they had before to other drugs. And now individuals who may have used cocaine for their entire life, for 40, 50 years, that's a party drug. I use it once a month. I use it once a week. Well, that once a month, that once every 6 months, to once every 3 months, to once every month is now once a week or more because there's fentanyl put in it, and now they're becoming addicted to the fentanyl, and they're dying from it. So we've come out with, as I tasked the task force last year, we've got to come out with new ideas, and one of them was a new type of marketing campaign, Detect to Protect. And what this is to remind everybody that there is a crisis in our community. It hasn't ended, but it's changed. And that's the interesting thing. It's changed. We're seeing higher proportion of overdoses and deaths in areas we didn't see before, or at least to the same percentages, like in certain zip codes. In areas that were very high in overdose deaths, in overdoses in prior years, give you an example, Hamburg and Lackawanna in 2023 had almost a 50% drop in overdoses compared to 2022. Why? Because it's changed. The individuals who are becoming addicted to these substances are different than what it was in the past. So areas that were very high percentages of overdoses and overdose deaths associated with what was the old opiate crisis, we're seeing reductions in, and we're seeing increases in other areas, including in some of our most affluent suburbs. There's no area that hasn't been touched. It certainly has changed and has gotten older, and the faces have changed. So you're going to be hearing a lot more radio, posters, brochures, targeted social media, And the nice thing about social media, and I know this from running political campaigns, we can target specific individuals. So if we think there's a subset of individuals who are more at risk because of their age, where they live, we can target them directly. Can't really do that in any other media, but we can target them directly on social media. So we've began the Detect to Protect campaign. It is a marketing campaign to say and let the public know the faces of the opiate epidemic have changed because it's an addiction issue now, but people are still dying from opiates. It's changed. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Burstein to talk a little bit more about this, but I want everyone to understand that we've not let down our guard. We've had to change because the entire addiction crisis has changed. It is no longer what it was 10 years ago. Last year, I asked the task force to come up with new ideas, and this is one of them. This is an idea that I think is an important one because it's about getting the information out to the public to understand. They need to detect to protect. We have and distribute annually tens of thousands of doses of naloxone, tens of thousands of fentanyl test strips. We distribute them. We just need to get them into the hands of the people who don't think they need them right now, but they do. The individuals who have an opiate addiction know they have an opiate addiction, and they will get naloxone, and they will not do it alone, and they will grab test strips so they can test their drugs. We actually feel that those people are not the target audience for this campaign. The target audience are for those who occasionally use cocaine, who occasionally might use another drug that has fentanyl laced in it and does not believe they're at risk. So that's what this campaign is doing. It's reaching those individuals who are not seeking test strips, who are not seeking naloxone, who are doing this drug alone, and then being found by a neighbor or a family member a day or two later dead in their home because they used a drug by themselves and there's no way to recover and provide naloxone to yourself. It's as simple as that. So I hope I didn't steal all your thunder. With that, I'll turn it over to our health commissioner, Dr. Gilberstein.
Thanks. Still short. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm Gail Burstein, Erie County Commissioner of Health. So as the county executive mentioned, last week we launched our new Detect to Protect campaign to raise awareness around a new trend in the opioid overdose epidemic, deaths from overdoses involving cocaine and fentanyl, and the life-saving tactics that we have of testing your cocaine for fentanyl. So in this multi-year, multimedia, multi-channel campaign is designed to reach the people who need to hear these messages, as the county executive pointed out. So Impact Marketing and Communications has been a thoughtful and expert partner in developing the messages and visuals for this campaign, as you can see right behind me. They conducted research, focus groups, key informant interviews, and took the time to refine and perfect these messages with subject matter experts in our offices. So you can see in these photos, in these visuals, we include real people, and you can see the real people here, with real connections to the overdose epidemic in these messages. We have a real local feel for a real and persistent local issue. So we started, as the county executive said, with radio ads in April to get life-saving messages out the door as soon as possible. And this paid campaign actually runs through the end of 2025. And the messages remain available always for our use so that we'll always have access to this media and the messaging. And also we are developing a toolkit that we're going to be launching this week for people to help share these messages and for their personal and professional networks. So we can even amplify these messages even further so we can have the broadest reach possible. So Erie County made a $1 million investment in media. It will be focused and it will go far, and we'll have social media toolkits, as I mentioned, for individuals and groups to use to extend our messaging. So these messages and strategies will be reviewed and refreshed on a regular basis during the course of the campaign. And so we find that through evaluation data that these people are are not taking up as much Narcan or fentanyl test strips, or not reaching the people that we need to with the messages that we need to get out. You know, we can regroup and revise that. We are constantly reevaluating. That's what we're paying our money for, is to keep this campaign current for the duration of the contract through 2022. So in our community, our peer navigators and health educator work with individuals every single day. We distribute, as the county executive says, thousands of Narcan kits each year. We trade hundreds of people of hard to Narcan. And this is complementary to everything that we're doing. And we also are spending $5.9 million in settlement funding to support 19 local agencies so far. And we have more structured funding opportunities planned for this fall, so we're not done yet. So these settlement dollars are intended for a community response using innovative work that aligns with treatment, prevention, training, and research and public awareness. And so our spending actually follows the settlement priorities and evidence-based strategies. And so we're also building an online dashboard to show the community, task force members, taxpayers, exactly where and how we are spending these settlement funds. So all this information will be available to everybody in the public very shortly. And so we recognize the need to have community voices and people with lived experience represent in how these monies are delivered. And so we're going to have more announced of that in the near future, of how we're going to have more community involvement to decide how these monies are spent. So this work is important and timely because, as the county executive said, the face of our overdose epidemic has changed. It's older, there are more people of color, we're seeing different hotspots than we used to, and we're seeing more people who believe that they're using cocaine and have no idea that it's contaminated with fentanyl, and they're just not prepared. So in response to that, we've developed this campaign. We've changed our task force to make it a drug overdose prevention task force, not just an opioid prevention overdose, because we want to reach out to those individuals who, again, don't believe or realize that they're taking opioids. We want to make it relevant for everybody in our community. So I just want to reach out to you, the media, and remind you that you have a role too. So we're expanding our social media toolkit to include non-judgmental, accurate images that can be freely used in your opioid and drug overdose news stories. And we really want to help you, to encourage you to reduce the stigma around this topic. So, every time the media use a story about, addicts or dirty drug tests, or this casts people in a negative light, and we're really trying to get away from that, because any chronic disease should not be stigmatized, and this is what addiction is. It's a chronic disease, and we just have to treat it that way. So as closing, I just want to give you friendly reminders to always carry Narcan and know how and when to use it. You can text 716-225-5473, and all we need to know at the health department is where you want us to send the Narcan. There's also Narcan available 24/7 in the Rath Building lobby, and we also, through our Matters Network, have vending machines where you can get Narcan and test strips. Also, we want to remind people never to use alone. Even if you don't think that you're using a product with opioid, if you're using cocaine that you've always used, it's still important not to use alone and have Narcan with you. You can use have a friend with you who's not using, or you can use a service like Never Use Alone, and you can Google them. They'll call you, stay with you while you're using, and call out to you every couple minutes. If you don't respond, they'll call 911. Also, we want to make sure everybody tests their drugs for fentanyl. Again, even if you're like 99% certain that there's no fentanyl in your cocaine or whatever they're using, there's still a very high likelihood that it's there. And as a physician, a scientist, you know that you don't, you need hard data. You don't know what's in it unless you do a test. So I encourage everybody to test. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the county executive so we can take some questions.
Thank you, Doctor. Manuela, Paula, and Ken will be available for any individualized questions you may have as to why they're participating in this. So if you want to talk to them after, please feel free. Also, I just want to note that every quarter we hold a task force meeting. We bring people from across the region, not just all Erie County. There's people even from Niagara and other areas. And we invite the media. They're available to come. They're available to see the statistics. It is an open process, and a media advisory goes out. So if there are any opportunities to find out more about what's going on in the community, it's the task force meeting to do it. That is the opportunity, because you're going to get the latest and greatest information from our team. And I do want to thank our harm reduction team, because there's been some stories lately that make it seem like Erie County hasn't done anything, and that's absolutely incorrect. All you got to do is talk to the task force team, the harm reduction team, and you will know they're working their butts off trying to save people's lives. It's just not easy, because you're trying to save people's lives across the entire county, which is the same size as geographically as the state of Rhode Island. As you've heard me say before, we have a population that's greater than five states. You can't be in every home if somebody's using cocaine alone. So I just want to thank the harm reduction team for the work that they've done, because we see the statistics associated with deaths. You never get statistics associated with how many lives have been saved because of the work that they've done. And we will never know how many lives have been saved because of the work of the harm reduction team and others. But I guarantee you, if we're having a 300 plus deaths a year, there's thousands of individuals in Erie County whose lives have been saved because of the work of the harm reduction team and the Department of Health. So I want to thank them for their work. With that, we'll open up to any questions.
Is there any concern with all these options available for drug use? Is that normalizing of drug use that just adding to the problem?
People use drugs, Chris. That's the biggest issue. If we, the old don't say no, the Nancy Reagan don't say no, doesn't work. I don't know why people use them, but they do. And what surprises me is lately I've been getting the statistics associated with the age, the place of death, and the race. And then I'll see an obituary that matches up with that. I didn't have the name, I didn't have the individual, but I'll have the obituary, and I'll think, geez, I can't believe that person died of a fentanyl overdose. But they did, because they used a drug. It may have been the first time they used the drug. I think that's the thing you got to remember. It could be the first time someone uses cocaine. It could be the first time someone ordered what they thought was a different type of pill on the black market, and it turns out it was pure fentanyl. So I think what we just have to say is the don't say no campaign doesn't work. What we got to tell folks is, if you use drugs, there's a very high propensity that it's going to be fentanyl in it. And if you don't take it seriously, you may end up a statistic from our medical examiner's office. It's a similar message that we used a few years ago, but we were putting it in a much more narrow group of individuals when we were dealing with opiates, heroin. Now it's expanded, because it's pretty much any damn drug that's out there. So I would love to be able to say, just say no, don't use drugs, and people automatically stop using drugs, but that's not the case. There's people going to be using drugs in the next hour in Erie County. There's people going to be using drugs at bars and parties tonight. And hopefully none of them die. But someone may.
Can I say something? Thanks. Thank you. So as the county executive mentioned, you know, people are always going to use drugs. I mean, people have been using drugs forever. I mean, since, you know, biblical times. So that hasn't changed. What's changed is, you know, we're more aware what's out in the streets. But just raising that awareness doesn't normalize it. Doesn't mean make people going to use more. It's just like, you know, saying that teenagers are more likely to have sex because you have condoms around. I mean, that's not going to happen. What we're trying to do is harm reduction. So people are using, you know, we're trying to give them options about how to use more safely so that they don't die. We want people to stay alive. So harm reduction is a key evidence-based strategy. That's why we have all the Narcan. You know, that's why we're telling people not to use alone and use it with a friend so they can get rescued. That's why we're telling people, even if they think that they're using cocaine or some other stimulant, to test their drugs for fentanyl, because they can be educated consumers, and then they'll know to have Narcan, to have a friend with them, and to not to use alone, and maybe just use a little test dose to see what happens. So harm harm reduction is a really important strategy. And that's why our outreach workers are out throughout the community and educating people about Narcan and the test strips and making sure that everybody has access to them. So when they do use, because they will, people are going to use, we're just, you can't put your head in the sand about it and hide. They are going to use, we're just going to help them use more safely so they stay alive until they're ready to think about getting into, recovery or getting into a lifestyle or network where it's not as, you know, it's easier for them not to use. So that's our strategy. Thanks.
How was the task force picked? Are these people that, former addicts, that are counselors now or been through this before, or things like that?
Yeah, the task force is pretty much everyone and anyone in this area. It's individuals associated not just with the health field per se, but their own experience, who are now mentors, peer coordinators, and counselors, as well as people from the what would be considered addiction services area, the mental health area, emergency room doctors, you name it, those who are seeing and dealing with this on a daily basis. So the task force is pretty varied, and law enforcement has a key role as well. I think what we realize is that there's no one area that has a monopoly on good ideas associated with how we best address this. So that's why you allow and open it up to others. I mean, last I knew, there were more than 100 people on the task force. They don't always attend every meeting, but then there's subcommittees associated with the task force that focus on particular areas, and they report back. Each subcommittee reports back to the overall task force at its quarterly meetings on the work that it's doing and the recommendations that it's coming up with. And as a result, it's one of the reasons why Erie County was considered a model for how to address the opiate crisis. Our task force and the way we went about it helped reduce the number of overdoses and overdose deaths for a number of years. And that changed as drug dealers started putting fentanyl in everything. Now we're no longer, as we said, talking about an issue just so socially with opiates, but just drugs in general, any drug. And as I said in the question before, it'd be nice if we just say no and people stopped using drugs, but it's not the case.
Can I give it just a little bit of detail?
Sure.
Thanks.
Of course. Yeah,
sorry, I always have to get a word in. So, as
Doc,
a county.
Did you hear her say that? She says she always has to get a word.
You're not married to me. So, with our, as a county executive said, since our overdose epidemic has changed, our task force has also changed. So we renamed it our Overdose Prevention Task Force, not just our Opioid Overdose Prevention Task Force. And then we've remodeled our work groups. So we have, different work groups that are working in their own, silos because of their own area of expertise. And it's the beauty of this task force. We all come together quarterly and share what we're doing. And that's how we get to think like, oh, I could work with them to do this, or I could work with this group to do something else I've been always wanting to do. So this is a great umbrella to facilitate collaboration. So we have our first responder group, so ambulance, EMS, EMTs, emergency department, fire, law enforcement, they're all there. We have our family support and advocacy and education group. And so, they're doing all those, and they will remind you that instead of using, and the word addict, we use a person who used drugs. So just, person first, and then, describing them that they use drugs. So just, again, to reduce the stigma. We have our healthcare provider work group, where I'm the co-chair with Dr. Jeff Lack, and we're looking at interventions to normalize harm reduction in primary care, and also to identify patients who are admitted to the hospital for whatever reason who have a substance use disorder and help address their substance use disorder while they're in the hospital, especially so they won't leave against medical advice, only partially or untreated. We also have a substance use provider treatment group and a harm reduction group. So again, all these experts are working in their own field and doing projects and meeting regularly. And then we all come together quarterly. And I really encourage the media to attend. As the county executive said, you learn what each of the work groups are doing, how productive we are, how we're collaborating, and you'll learn the latest statistics of our overdoses and our both fatal and non-fatal, because now we get good data from law enforcement about the non-fatal overdoses that law enforcement responds to. So it's a really rich 2 hours, so I encourage everybody to attend. Thanks.
Any other on-topic questions? Sandra?
So out of the $1 million campaign, you said that it's a multimedia approach. Do you have a breakdown as to how you're allocating money? It sounds like social media is a big part of it, for instance. I don't know, like, how much, you know, what percentage you're planning to devote to other forms of marketing and advertising. I don't know if it's possible to get that breakdown. I was also interested to know when money was first allocated in the budget for this $1 million campaign. And what is the, is the main message with this Detect to Protect? You emphasize harm reduction. Is this primarily like know what you're taking? Like come here to get, you know, because you, I see you've got the website up. Is it, you know, get fentanyl test strips? What, I just want to make sure I have a good understanding of the primary, when you say Detect to Protect, is that primarily just a, they know what your drugs are, we have free fentanyl test strips in Narcan. Is that the main message that you're trying to get out there?
Well, yeah, you just look at these different ads. Cocaine, 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 cocaine.
Right.
Cocaine, cocaine. It's to focus on cocaine users, because that's what we've seen in the last year and a half, is a dramatic increase in the number of overdose and overdose deaths of individuals using cocaine. It might not be the only substance they're using. They may be using other substances too, and often they are, but not only, not always. You could, we could have told in 2014 if someone died of an opiate overdose, they were probably dying directly from prescription drug overdose or heroin. There was nothing else. They may have had other drugs in their system, but that was the thing that did it. Now, it's people who don't think they're using opiates. So the focus is, you use cocaine, you got to detect it. People are still going to use it. There's been times in which we've come out here and announced, don't use your drugs, because we're seeing this massive spike of deaths in a 24-hour period. And as much as we say that, we know people are still going to use it because they got their drug there, and they think, well, mine's probably fine. Well, there's no safe cocaine out in the system right now. We can give you the particulars associated with the breakdown of the marketing that we can do. I don't have it. I don't think we have it immediately right here, but we can give you that for your story.
And when was money budgeted for this campaign?
Well, it wasn't. I don't think you'll see it in the budget. It's part of the opiate settlement. Yeah. So this started last year when we got confirmation. We did the RFP. We decided to split up the funding. We did the RFP for providers. And it takes time to get responses back and then award those contracts. So it's not as fast as we'd always like it, but that's sometimes how government works, because they just don't sign contracts and just put them out there willy-nilly. You actually, we did a process in which we sought responses back, proposals that is, to determine what would be in some ways the best bang for our buck. There, I wish it was a unlimited amount of money, but it's not. It's finite. And as much as $6 million is a lot of money, it can only be invested in certain, in so many ways. So I'm sure there's some folks out there who feel like, well, my agency wasn't chosen for the funding, and it had nothing to do with particulars associated with their agency as much as the proposals that we received and where we felt we could get the best bang for our investment, so to speak. Any other questions on topic?
Just impact marketing here in Albany, what the selection process was for the...
It was an RFP, right?
Yeah.
So
hang on.
Thank you. So it was, we went through an RFP process, and we had an objective review panel review all the proposals. We had certain criteria that we used to score the proposals, and then we met and discussed, and then we ended up selecting Impact Marketing. They had the highest score, and you know, it was pretty clear cut, especially after the top three scores. We asked them to make a presentation for us, you know, virtually, so we can, you know, hear their story. And you know, that Impact Marketing's presentation was really solid, and we felt very confident that they could meet our needs. And especially since we know that they have some really good experience working with the New York State Health Department. I actually called the AIDS Institute, what they were impact marketing and work with, and they just really sang their praises. They couldn't say good enough about them. So we were able to finally get the contract signed in January, and then we they left the gate running. They started doing the research that the plan that they had implemented. So they were busy doing the reach bird. In the meantime, we knew we had to do something. So we put together some brief radio campaigns that we hope that many people have heard. I know that I've received feedback that people have heard our radio campaigns. I've heard the radio campaigns, and just to get the messaging out very quickly until they were able to complete their pretty in-depth research using looking at our data, doing research for evidence-based marketing strategies, doing focus groups, key informant interviews, working with our harm reduction team that is out in the community every day, looking at talking to people in our community, and then they have put together this campaign, I think pretty quickly, and here we are today. So we're really satisfied with the work that Impact Marketing has done, and again, we continue to meet weekly. We check in, where we are, just in terms of the progress, and then we're going to start to soon, start to talk about the evaluation data, because again, we're continuing to evaluate it. Not only looking at our fatal and non-fatal overdoses and where they're occurring, we're able to look at, people are ordering fentanyl from our websites based on the campaign. We're looking at that, and test strips based on the campaign, and so we have other indicators that we're able to look at. So again, we are we're continuing assessing this, so it's not just a one and done, push the button and it's out. We have the opportunity to continually evaluate our campaign and keep it fresh, keep it new, and keep it relevant for people that we're trying to reach.
And just to show that all of us make a little mistake every now and then, you cannot order fentanyl from our website.
Right, sorry.
You can order fentanyl test strips and naloxone. I've made plenty of doozies, missteps during press conferences, and people said, "I can't believe you said that." I said, "What?" So you cannot order fentanyl from the county's website.
Thank you.
Any other on-topic questions? If not, off-topic. I think Rob, you had your hand up.
Yeah, kind of adjacent to this. With the Purdue Pharma ruling, does the county have a better idea of how any settlement funds that you guys would have received are going to be impacted by that process going forward? Is that still really an unknown?
It's still an unknown. I mean, the one advantage is the funds we have are in our hands. So it's not like that we're going to lose those funds, because there were other parties that were part of the overall opiate settlement. I really can't answer what the impact is going to be with regards to the decision in the Purdue case. But we do have the cash in hand. We're going to get that. That was a settlement that was entered into by multiple parties. And I'm not worried about that, but the impact that has on any future dollars associated with the settlement in the Purdue case is a different one. Okay, thank you, everyone. Please go to erie.gov detect for more information on the marketing campaign and how you can detect your drugs. And just one final message: if you use cocaine, you better be ordering fentanyl test strips, because there are people in our community in the last week to 2 weeks that do not use any other drug and do not believe they use drugs, but they use cocaine, and cocaine's a drug. And some of those people are dead. Do not be the next person that our medical examiner team has to come out and confirm that, yes, this was an overdose death. Contact us. We will provide you free fentanyl test strips as well as naloxone. Never use alone, as the doctor said. And if you think your drugs are safe, they're not. It's as simple as that. Assume every grain of cocaine is laced with fentanyl. If you do that, there's a better chance that you'll be alive so that your loved ones can enjoy your life rather than having to bury you. Thanks, everyone. If you wanted to talk to everyone.
Can we hear from them at the podium versus all of us surrounding them?
If they want to talk.
If you feel comfortable.
I just wanted to show that these are real people in our community, part of the campaign.
Can you just tell us a little bit about your story and why you decided to take part in this campaign?
My name is Kenny Gaston. I am the program director at Group Ministries, founded by Reverend Pastor Arthur H. Boyd. It's located at 1333 Jefferson Avenue, right across from Frank Merriweather Library. Pastor has had Group there for over 34, 35 years, providing health and human services to Erie County and specifically the greater East Side. How did I come about joining him in his latest effort? He gave me a call and said, hey, Kenny, I am partnering with Erie County Department of Health to do outreach and to help fight this fentanyl epidemic. He said, I need you to come on down. So I came down and we formulated a plan, developed a team, and what we do now is provide outreach to the greater East Side. We provide Narcan, fentanyl test strips, xylazine test strips. We do demonstrations to show the proper use of Narcan, the proper use of fentanyl test strips and xylazine test strips. They're not, even though they're effective in terms of determining whether or not fentanyl is in them, they're not very good if you don't know how to use them. So we provide little cards to show the people or the general public just how to use fentanyl test strips. And how did I get in personally? I knew some people who had passed, unfortunately, through the use of fentanyl. A teacher that I knew from my neighborhood, a good friend of some of my family members, passed away. More importantly, a young man, my son's best friend, this is my son here in this campaign here, my son's best friend was 22 years old. He grew up next to us. He was a straight-A student, accepted in St. Joe's University, full scholarship. Felt one day that he wanted to relax, so what did he do? He asked for someone to bring him some Percocet. That Percocet was laced with fentanyl, 22 years old. We buried him last month. So that, for me, kind of hammered home the importance of getting the message out that anyone, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what neighborhood, you could be affected by fentanyl. So I provide that information that we've heard here of the dangers of fentanyl, and I provide the information on how people can stay safe by using Narcan if necessary, and more importantly, using fentanyl or xylazine test strips before you use.
When someone who's right in the thick of it, how have you seen this campaign already making a difference or have you?
I think it has made a difference because we're trying to constantly upgrade the way we approach this epidemic. My belief is outreach is number one, the greatest priority, because you can't have any effective program without information to the people you're trying to contact that these programs exist. That's what the purpose of outreach does. It gets out there in the thick of it, talk to people face to face, let them see that there's a possibility that they could die, tell them why, tell them how to stay safe. And if they want to, at some point in time, we all know the adage about reaching rock bottom before you want to change your behavior. We all know that that is more of a truth than a fallacy. So we're not there to be judgmental or tell people to stop using. We're there to keep them safe while they're making that decision. And I think putting a face on that with outreach workers, sometimes our outreach workers have lived experience, which makes it even better because they can relate to that target population, or they just know where to go. The Erie County Department of Health was very, very gracious enough when we partnered with them. They provide us with what is known as hotspots, activity zones that people have passed away as a result of fentanyl use, overdose, but we also, my team also looks at hot zones that we categorize where people buy those particular drugs. Those are hot zones as well. So we have our team there. We have Narcan stations we put up with in between those areas of the purchase and the overdose use, so that anybody who is actively struggling with substance use disorder can get access to the Narcan stations and have information that we hand out, like palm cards, to contact us if they need to use Narcan, have obtained Narcan.
Since addiction or everything is going up, do you have enough foot soldiers out there to reach these people?
That's a good question. You must have come by my agency a couple of times. We're trying to get the number of agencies. We think ideally it takes at least 6 to 8. Pastor Boyd made an excellent point at one of our task force meetings that, as I indicated, he's been around for 35 years fighting various epidemics, including the HIV and AIDS epidemic. And what he found most helpful and beneficial at that time was outreach, flooding the city with people who provided condoms, provided information, provided comfort. As a matter of fact, when I first joined his team in 2008, I was a care manager for people living with HIV. My entire caseload were 55 or 60 people living with HIV. And I understood that one of the keys to making certain that they were safe was providing them with information, updated, constant, and caring. So I think in answer to your question, we need more people on our outreach team, and I'm trying to do the best I can to obtain more funds to expand our outreach program. Yeah.
Spelling your name? I'm sorry. Spelling your name?
Kenneth, K-E-N-N-E-T-H, Gaston, G-A-S-T-O-N.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Would you like to speak?
You don't have to. If you'd like to, go ahead.
Hi. So my name is Manuela. My last name is Muihemuka. It's M-W-I-H-E-M-U-K-A. I actually got involved in this because it was important for me to be able to reach members of the community that are not getting the access to this information, whether it's because of language barriers, cultural barriers, whatever the case might be. For me, I figured if I can put a face and a voice to be a part of this project, it can open up first the conversation and hopefully create a path for individuals to step forward and say, hey, I need help, or where can I get more information about this, or who can I talk to about this without feeling stigmatized, without feeling rejected from their community, without feeling like they're alone in what they're going through.
Could you spell your name and when you say other communities, any in particular that you're thinking of?
Sure. So my name.
Spell it slower, I'm sorry. You went through it kind of fast the first time. Yeah.
It's M W I H E M U K A.
And the first name is?
Manuela. So that's M A N U E-L-L-A. So the communities I'm talking about are primarily immigrant or migrant communities. I am not originally from the U.S. And I have seen and been a witness to individuals who suffer alone, probably because of the trauma that they have experienced trying to build a new life in a completely new culture, in a world that they're trying to survive and start from scratch. And that can take a toll on someone. And sometimes you find a way to relieve yourselves without speaking to someone who can actually help you. This is why.
Is this campaign being translated into any other languages?
Yes, from the Office of Health Equity.
Initially it'll be translated parts of it to Spanish.
Our plan is to translate it to other languages. So we're going to start with Spanish and then expand. We work with the Office of Health Equity to get translation services to all our health education materials. So this is just new. So we're working on it.
Hello, my name, excuse me, my name is Paula Bridgeforth. I'm a peer here at the county. I'm a peer navigator, and I live with experience from cocaine usage. I've been clean since 2017. I have family members, friends, who are still actively using, and this is close to my heart due to this being the drug that I once used. I do a lot of outreach in the communities that feel they can't trust. They want us to come in. They want us to train them, build trust with them, bring in resources, and they want to do it community by community. They want the resources, they want us there, but a lot of times people who are actively using a substance, especially cocaine, they're not gonna trust. They're not gonna let you in their home. They're not going to just say, okay, I'm not gonna do this. But when I come in, or a peer like myself comes in, who has this experience, who have been through it, who knows what it is to use alone and comfortable for many years of doing it that way, we're trying to build in these communities. We're trying to show them, don't use alone. Don't trust your drugs. Keep Narcan like it's part of your setup. Yes, when you set your cocaine up, set your Narcan up. Have someone there with you, because you do not know what's in your substance. We have been doing outreach faithfully, and the stories that I'm hearing and my team is hearing is heartbreaking. A lot of times, folks don't get to hear what we hear or see the data that we're seeing, and we're going to the hot spots. And it breaks my heart, really, to know I was part of that. So this is why I do what I do. I love what I'm doing. And we are making a difference. It's making a difference.
If you wouldn't mind sharing, what was the thing that got you to the point that you are now? Or what was that moment that you knew that you needed help? Was it someone like yourself that it was able to come and meet you in a place?
It was more my choices. It was my choices. And me realizing, by the faith of God, that my choices were my mom, my family, couldn't even look at me anymore, my choices. So when it's your choices, you need somebody who can relate to you, who can come in and say, I've been there, I did that. This is what works for me. And when you're ready, I will help you get in treatment. But until then, let's save your life. So your mom ain't, or is not, the one who has to sit in that front seat of a funeral home and pick a casket and go through all this, and your kids and your family. Your family, your kids. I have women coming to me about their children. They're battling them being taken out the home, so they're not going to treatment. So we're navigating and bridging all these different things for these families while they're using substance. No one can make me stop. No one. No one can make me stop. So I get where they're coming from. And you say, oh, this is good. My dealer was cool. No, you don't know where he got that from today. Guys, do not use alone. Have your Narcan part of your setup. And if you don't have someone, we have these numbers. They're posted all over our websites. You have peers, because we get the data. So we're reaching out to the data. We're in those hot spots. We get it firsthand. Our peers are on board. Our task is on board. Our coordinators are on board. And they're listening to the peers today. And that's why I stand here, because if they didn't, I wouldn't be here.